only is a day to honor those who served in the armed forces, but it has become known as Decoration Day in many communities. Lots of churches have cemeteries in their as part of their property. And we do not have a cemetery here, but we have a large cemetery close by. But on Decoration Day, you know, we take flowers to the cemetery as a token of remembrance. Mabel, she took flowers to the graves where all of her people were buried, and I took flowers to my parents' grave, and we remember them and remember, you know, the good times that we had while they were still living. Remember them taking us to the house of the Lord and, you know, worshiping together. And those are precious memories. And it's appointed unto man once to die. We all know that. And I think I said in a sermon sometime within the last year, you know, when our loved ones die, we wouldn't want to keep them around the house, you know. We want to give them a decent burial, lay them to rest. Because the natural process is for the body to decompose and go back to dust. That's what the Bible said. Dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. But we can visit their graves, and we can honor them. And we can put flowers on their graves that says to all who knew our family, they still remember, you know, mom and dad, and they still remember the lives that they lived. And today, I want to remember Jesus. You know, Jesus, we talked about the soldiers and the sailors and Marines and about their service to their country and how they gave, many of them gave their lives in the service. Well, Jesus Christ came to this world and he made the greatest sacrifice that's ever been made. He gave his life to ransom our souls from hell. And today I want to talk about Jesus. I want to read from Hebrews chapter 2. I'm going to read the first 10 verses. If you have your Bible and you'd care to follow along with me, I'd be glad for you to do so. The apostle said, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak, but one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Now that's my lesson for today, and I pray that God will bless the reading of his word, and that it'll be for our good and for his honor and glory. And my subject for today is going to be pictures of Jesus. Pictures of Jesus. Now we like to, you know, take pictures of family gatherings. We like to sit and look at those pictures and reminisce and remember, you know, our loved ones. But we don't have any photographs of Jesus. Photography wasn't invented until about the beginning of the 19th century. So when you see a picture of Jesus, it's not a photograph. It is an artist's conception of what he thinks Jesus might have looked like. We don't have any photographs of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we do have some beautiful pictures in the Word of God. They are word pictures. They are pictures that describe the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. Many of those pictures, they portray and describe the things that he did while he was living here in the world. And then we have pictures of the awful death that he died. We sing songs sometimes, what an awful death he died to pardon you and me. And we read those closing chapters of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we see with our mind's eye, we can see the Lord Jesus Christ as he was condemned. He was arrested upon the accusation of the Jewish authorities. They wanted him arrested. And so the Roman government did them a favor. The Caesars and the Herods, the Jews were living under the authority of the Romans. The Jews did not like Jesus. They said, we will not have this man to rule over us. They did not want anything to do with Jesus. And they demanded that he be crucified. And so the Bible says that Pilate, willing to do them a favor, even after he had examined the Lord Jesus, and he had said, I find no fault in this man. He hath done nothing that is worthy of death. And even after his examination, you know, the Jews still demanded, crucify him, crucify him. And so to appease the Jews, he gave the command, take ye him and crucify him. Now we can, the words present a picture for us. And that's why Paul said we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, not to the things which we have seen. but to the things which we have heard. God in His mercy, He provided for us a written copy of His Word. Holy men of God spake as they were moved upon by the Holy Spirit, and they wrote the things that Jesus did during His lifetime. Not all of the things. John said if they had written everything that Jesus did and said, that the world wouldn't contain the books. But He did write, have them to write enough for us to be able to see and to know and to understand that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. And we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have seen and heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Now the Bible went on, and in my lesson, it said that describes man and how God made man. And He gave him authority over everything. He put everything under His feet. Man has been able to explore and investigate and search out many things, you know. We have conquered lots of diseases and lots of things because of the study of scientists and so on. But there's one thing that man has never figured out how to conquer, and that is death. It is appointed unto man. It is appointed unto man once to die. Beginning with Adam, all the way down through the history of mankind, man has lived a few days. They have been filled with sorrow, lots of trouble, lots of heartache, lots of sickness, many things that caused them much grief. But then they died. You cannot, you know, we don't have any control over death. But it says we see man, he's conquered everything but death. But then the picture comes before us of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus conquered death. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste of death for every man. Now Jesus was crucified, and His physical body did die. It was lifeless when Joseph and Nicodemus took Him down from the cross. There was no life in His physical body whatsoever. And they put Him in Joseph's new tomb. And He was there for 3 days and 3 nights. And then He arose from the dead. He broke the bonds of death. His body came to life. And He arose from the grave. And the Bible said that He showed Himself alive by many infallible proofs. There was no magic. There was no sleight of hand. Jesus died, but He rose from the grave. And the Bible says that the Lord Jesus, I want to give you a few, just two or three pictures of Jesus. I could preach perhaps a long time on the subject if I tried to, and by the help of the Lord. But I don't want to worry your patience, but I want to emphasize some things about Jesus. I want you to see Jesus. Jesus is the only hope that you have. There is none other. You're going to die one of these days. And if you don't make peace with God, you're not only going to die physically, but your soul will die eternally. It is a continual death that never ends in death. It's a continual death. Now we read in the Bible about Jesus. In the book of the Revelations in chapter 1, it starts out by telling us about the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ, the revealing of the Lord Jesus. It's information about Jesus. I think sometimes maybe we worry too much about things that we really don't know about. But there's one thing we know about. We know that Jesus was born. We know that he lived on the earth. We know that his life was taken from him. We know that he was buried. And we know that he rose from the grave. And we know that he lives. The Bible said he is alive forevermore. And he conquered death. And he conquered death not only for himself, but he conquered death for those who believe in him. Now, you know, in the Revelation, it tells us here that the revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave to him to show unto his servants things that must shortly come to pass. And it was signified by his angel unto his servant John. I think sometimes, you know, The greatest thing about the book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what makes the book so wonderful. It is a book that reveals victory over death. It is a book that reveals the accomplishments of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody said, you know, when you read the book of Revelation, there's some awful things in there. But somebody says, you know, we win because I read the back of the book. And we do win. Are we going to have victory? We sing victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. And that's the only place that we'll have victory is in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the first picture that John described for us, he was on the Isle of Patmos, and it was on the Lord's day, and he heard a voice speaking to him. And he turned to see who was speaking with him, and it was Jesus, the one who had been crucified but rose from the dead. And he was alive, and he spoke these words to John. John said, well, Jesus said, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, which is and which was and which is to come. I think perhaps Satan thought that when they buried Jesus, that's the end of him, but it wasn't. I think the Jews probably thought when they buried Jesus, that's the end of him, but it wasn't. You know, there have been people, I'm sure, who buried their enemies. You know, maybe murdered them, took their life because they hated them. You know, and they said, boy, I'm glad to be rid of him. But now you can't say that about Jesus. Jesus is going to have the last word. And so he is the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning of all things. In the beginning was the Word. That's Jesus. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So he was the beginning of all things. And now when all has been said and done, the Lord Jesus is going to be the end of all things as well. And so I'm glad today that I can maybe draw you a picture of Jesus. Because it's more important that we remember him than it is that we remember our parents or that we remember our companions. It's more important that we remember Jesus because it is in him that we live and move and have our being here in this world. And it is in him that we're going to rise from the dead one of these days. So he saw him, and he saw him in all of his glory. He gives us a description. I think that he was wearing his great high priestly garments when John saw him on the Isle of Patmos. And it said that, let me read this. I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And he being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. Now the candlesticks, the seven candlesticks, represented the seven churches of Asia Minor. It also represented Fairview Memorial. Jesus walks in the midst of his churches. He didn't just establish the church and then abandon it. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, when you gather together, it may be just a few of you, two or three. If you gather together in my name, there am I in the midst. Oh, what a Savior, huh? Listen. And he said, and he was clothed with a garment down to the foot. This is his great high priestly garment that he was wearing. And he had he was girt about the paps with a golden girdle. And his head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were like a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as they burned in a furnace. And the voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shining in his strength. And he said, when I saw him, I fell as a dead man. And he laid his right hand on me, and he said, fear not, I'm the first and the last. I'm he that liveth. I was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and of hell. Now, you're talking about authority. He has all power in heaven and in earth. Those eyes that burn like fire, there is nothing that is hid from the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Sees everything. He has all power. He can speak the word and the winds obey. And so he saw a picture of him. He had been a close friend to Jesus in life. When Jesus was on the cross just before he died, he looked over and he saw his mom at the foot of the cross. And he loved his mom and he had compassion for her. And he said, woman, behold your son. He's talking about John. And he looked at John and said, son, behold your mom. And from that hour, John took Mary to his house, and he cared for her. So the Lord Jesus, you see, he has all power. That's the point I was making. And he has authority over even death. According to the Bible, the day is coming when all that are in the graves are going to hear the voice of Jesus. And they that hear shall live. And those that have been saved are going to come forth in glorified bodies. We're going to be like unto Jesus. I've never been like Jesus. I have a little bit of Jesus in me. I have a little bit of the love of Jesus in my heart. It makes me love everybody. It makes me love those around me, my family, my friends, my church family. It makes me love them. But it also makes me love people that are outside of the ark of safety. And I want to see them get saved. I don't want them to perish. And that's what the Bible says will happen if you don't get saved. You will perish. And that word perish there means totally and completely. Not only the body, but the soul will never die, and yet it will perish. And so I want you to see that picture. The next picture that I want to bring before you, I wish, you know, if I had a video, maybe I could, but I doubt it. You can't make it no plainer in the Bible. But this is what it says. He said that, I want you to write to the seven churches, and he wrote them letters, and I won't go into that. But the next thing he said was, in the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation, after this, and that don't mean in chronological order, it means this took place after this other did, but it don't mean necessarily in chronological order. But he said, I looked and a door was opened in heaven. And he was permitted to see into heaven. Now, he didn't actually go to heaven. But he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And the Lord gave him a vision. And he was able to see into heaven. And it says, there was a voice that spoke to me, and it was like a trumpet, loud, clear. I think perhaps a trumpet has one of the clearest sounds of any instrument. And that voice was loud, and it was clear. And the voice said, come up hither. Well, of course, his body didn't leave Patmos. But he was in the Spirit. And he said, I'll show you things that are to come. And so he immediately said, I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven. He saw the throne of God. The throne of Almighty God. And he described that. And for sake of time, I will not try to describe that. But he saw one sitting upon the throne. And this one that sat upon the throne had a book in his hand. And it was sealed with seven seals. Now, it wasn't a book like this. The printing press wasn't invented, you know, till 1500s. So it wasn't a book like this. It was a scroll. In fact, I think it was probably seven scrolls. Each one of the scrolls was sealed. Each one of the scrolls was written on both sides. Our copy machine in here, you get ready to copy it, ask you a question. You want it printed just on one side, or you want it printed on both sides? Well, this scroll was written on both sides, and then it was sealed. And those seven scrolls, they contained the things that was going to be revealed. Those scrolls, I think that they were, they contained the terms of redemption, the sufferings and the things that the Lord Jesus went through in order to redeem us from our sins. That's why I think the picture's so important. He saw him that sat on the throne with the book. The next slide, as it comes into view, it shows that well, it says in verse 5, I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book. It was written on the backside and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals? I think it was a doomsday book. And I'll show you in a minute why I think that. And he said, who's worthy? Who can meet the requirements of this book? Well, the Bible said, no man in heaven nor in the earth. They searched, no man in heaven or in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. Demands that no man could meet. And John said, I wept much. You know what he saw? He saw a world of people lost and in their sins, dying without God and without a hope in the world. And that made him weep. He wept as he saw there was no man that could open the book or loose the seals. He said, I've wept much because, he said, no man was found worthy to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders that was before the throne, and I won't bring them in at this time, but 24 elders that were around the throne. And one of the elders said, don't weep. I've got good news for you. He said, the line of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. And it says, now let me read it so I won't mess it up. Weep not, behold, the line of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And he said, behold, in the midst of the throne and the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb that had been slain. This is Jesus. He was the Lamb of God, the only one that can take away sin. He was standing. He had been killed. He had been slain, and yet he was standing because he rose from the dead. And he was standing, and he said, having seven horns and seven eyes. Seven horns represents seven perfection, and the horns authority. He has all authority in heaven and in earth. He said that himself, Matthew chapter 28 and verse I forgot the verse. Next to the last verse in that chapter, I believe it is. All power. He had seven eyes, perfect vision. I told you a while ago, he can see all things. You read in the book of Psalms, he can see in the dark as well as in the light. Nothing that's hid from the eyes of him, you know. And the seven spirits of God, which are sent forth into all the earth. You say, I thought there was just one Holy Spirit. There is. But he had written to seven churches, and that same Spirit was in every one of those churches. You know, and that same Spirit is in our church. And so the seven spirits of God, God's Spirit works in and through and by his churches. And he came and he took the book out of the hand of him that sat on the throne. And when he took the book, it says, the elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials, which are the prayers of the saints, and they sung a new song. They had something to rejoice about. He said, thou art worthy to take the book, to loose the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and nation and tongue and people, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. I want you to get that picture. Jesus. That's a picture of Jesus. It's a word picture. But can't you visualize that? Having read the Gospels of our Lord Jesus Christ, can't you see the picture of Jesus? There was a time back in eternity when God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, they met in a determinate council. And they discussed what it would take to redeem man from sin. And Jesus became a surety for our sins. He volunteered. He said, I will go. I will pay the debt for their sins. I will die in their place. I will be their substitute. I will suffer and give my life so that they may have eternal life. And Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. Now, I could go on. I could go on. I've left out more than I've given you. Some of it because I don't know. There are things I don't understand. I wouldn't stop here and tell you I know everything's in the Bible and I understand it all. That'd make me a fool if I said that. There are things I don't understand, but I understand this. Jesus left heaven and he came to the earth. And he gave his life as a ransom for our souls. And his perfect life was the only sacrifice that God would accept. You don't have a thing you can offer God. Not a thing in the world. Salvation is by grace. And it's through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the only thing that'll work. Nothing else will. I want you all to sing with me. Will you sing with me? In fact, I'd like for you to stand just for a few minutes. You're going to know these songs that I'm going to sing with you. There is a name I love to hear. Sing loud. I love to hear its word. It sounds like music in my ears. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. And what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day, that will be. That was another one I wanted to share. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus.
Amen.
I mean, we're going to see him. We're going to look upon his face.
Amen.
When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout. So onward to the prize before us, soon his beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we that will be when we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for singing, buddy. That will be some kind of a day, won't it? That'll be a day that'll never end. There'll be no night there. And we're going to be together. And we're going to see Jesus, and we're going to see our loved ones that died in the Lord. And we're going to sing then, sure enough. We're going to really sing. I pray God will bless the message today. Send a friend, if you're not right with God, there's nothing more important in your life than getting saved.